pray with me. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. A chicken in every, excuse me, I don't know why my throat's off today. A chicken in every pot, and a car in every garage. That was Herbert Hoover's winning campaign slogan from 1928. Do you remember that one?
Not kidding.
It worked. He was elected. It's remained one of the most famous campaign slogans of all time. And on March 4th, 1929, he was inaugurated as president of the United States. I suppose the greatest painful irony is that less than 8 months later, on October 29th, the stock market cracked, and we were hurled into the Great Depression. His campaign promise was not fulfilled. There was anything but a chicken in every pot, or a car in every garage. The truth is, we still want leaders who promise us good times, who promise us plenty. We may think about other ideas and principles and so forth that we care about in elections, but the truth is, most Americans, most of the time, vote their pocketbooks. We vote for the person whose policies we think are more likely to benefit our own pockets. That's nothing new. People came out to see Jesus because, we're told, John tells us they came out to see him because of all the miracles that were being performed on the sick. And now, when he feeds the 5,000, it becomes even more dramatic. What happened? They want to take him by force and make him be their king. Because here's a leader who feeds us, who takes care of us, who eliminates our problems. In hindsight, we may see that they missed something essential about Jesus. But I don't think we can really blame them for what they wanted in that moment. They saw a leader who could care for them, and they wanted that. So John tells us that they were following because of the signs. And then he feeds the 5,000, and not only were the people satisfied, but there was 12 baskets of leftovers, more than they actually began with. Herbert Hoover tried to tap into that desire, that want that we all have. But Jesus was very clear that he was not going to be that kind of king. When he saw that they were coming to try to take you by force and make him king, he slipped away and went off into the mountains by himself. Didn't even take his disciples with him at that time. So, what are we being promised? If we're not being promised a king who is just going to make sure that there is bread for everybody, what is it that we are promised in the feeding of the 5,000? What does it mean for us today? Well, there are several things that I think we can learn. And I want us to notice a few different things, but one of them in particular is that Jesus wasn't offering some elaborate teaching. He wasn't doing some big principle. He saw a need, and he sought to meet the need. He didn't plan it all out, I don't think. He simply saw the need. And I will tell you that my observation over my years as I've watched various churches and ministries rise up and grow and so forth, the good ones are the ones that begin not with some great grand vision, not with some 10-year plan to influence thousands of people or something like that, but the ones that started with somebody just seeing a need and thinking, you know what, God has given me this, and I can use it to meet this need. Just to see a need and step up and try to do something about that need. We should never minimize that. Don't think that because there isn't some grand, glorious vision, don't think that because it isn't some part of some long-term strategy, that it isn't essential to the work and the plan of God. We need to ask God to teach us to have the eyes with which to see the needs that He places around us and see the resources that He makes available to us that we can apply to those needs. That's how God's work is accomplished. And that really is tied to the first principle of the feeding of the 5,000. He works through us. God does not work over us or under us or in spite of us or around us. He works through you and me, through regular people. He used the disciples, teaching them to look at the situation not as impossible, but as something that God can address. The natural human inclination is like Philip to say, hey, look, if we had 6 months' wages, it wouldn't be enough to do this. He saw the impossibility. Jesus wants us to have eyes to see the possibility, the opportunity to accomplish something. Another one of the disciples said, here's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that? So often we feel like what we have to offer isn't good enough. It isn't grand enough. It isn't big enough. It doesn't look adequate to us to meet the need, whatever that need may be. But what God does, this is the next thing I want to is that God takes what we have and makes it enough. It's not up to us to make it enough. God makes it enough. We're told the same kind of story in the lesson from 2 Kings this morning. I don't know if you caught that, but somebody came and brought 20 barley loaves and some ears of grain to the temple as an offering or a sacrifice. And Elisha said, give it to the people. And the temple attendants, the aide that he had there, said, how are we supposed to hand 20 loaves to 100 people? And remember, these are not great big loaves. These would be more like a little bun, a little cake. How are we to take that and give it to 100 people? And Elisha said, don't worry about it. Just go do it. Just go start handing it out. Meet the need that's in front of you with what you have available. And let God be the one to make it enough. It's so easy for us to look at what we have and see it as inadequate. See it as not enough. Maybe we don't think we're smart enough, or clever enough, or kind enough, or rich enough, or have enough time, or we don't know enough to go and talk to our friend about the struggle they're facing. It's not about us having enough. It's about our confidence that God will use that little thing that we can offer to meet the need that is there. God will make what we have to be enough. Now, there is something challenging about that, and that is this. Notice that the little boy gave all that he had. He didn't hold back, you know, well, let me keep a couple of the loaves and one of the fish to make sure I get enough. He gave all that he had. Probably what his mother packed for him that morning. I can picture his mother, you know, making some little barley cakes, packing them up in a little basket with a couple of dried fish as the little boy goes off, probably with his father, to go listen to this wondrous preacher that everybody's talking about who's performing these miracles. And off he goes with his little basket of food. And he doesn't hold any back. He just offers it all. He offers whatever he has. And he was satisfied too. It wasn't just the other 4,999 who were satisfied. He had enough. And he offered it in thanksgiving and service. It's God's job to take what we have, what he has made available to us, and make it adequate to the task. And not just adequate, and this is the final point, he makes it more than enough. There were 12 baskets of leftovers after everyone was satisfied. Sometimes we breeze over that comment. You realize in that day and age, it was very rare for somebody to have enough food to eat until they were satisfied. But they all were able to eat until they were satisfied. God met the need, and indeed more than the need. It's easy for us to look around and be discouraged. We see all kinds of needs growing around us. I can tell you that over the years I've been here, every year, the number of phone calls I get looking for money, looking for help with this or that, goes up and up and up. It never seems to go down. There's always more need. Those of us who go down and work at the Daily Bread know that there is no shortage of people who come hungry and looking for food. There's always more. We work with Family Promise. There's a crew coming in from Family Promise today. And there's always more need. I was just reading an article the other day about rent increases, even among the lowest rent places, such that even the lowest cost housing is coming, is getting out of reach for a lot of people. One of the families that we work with regularly recently moved up to Mississippi where they could move in with a family member because they just couldn't find a place that they could afford here in this area. The needs keep growing. And it looks overwhelming. And even in our own parish family, we look at a tight budget, and we look at gray hair, and we look at our age, and we feel the creeps in our bones, and the groans, and we see our friends whose health is failing, and we wonder, what can we do? What can we offer? The issue isn't that we have to have everything that is needed. We don't have to be able to look at it and do our strategic plan and see how we can satisfy all those needs. We just need to offer what God has placed at our fingertips and trust Him to make it enough to accomplish His purpose. God will make it enough. I don't know what God may call St. John's to in the future. But what I do know is that, if we will learn from that little boy, as both individuals and as a parish family, and offer what we have, trusting God to make it enough, He will accomplish wondrous things through us. I think that's what the feeding of the 5,000 tells us. We may not see if we can do everything, but we can do something. We can reach out to the need that God puts before us. We can trust Him to make it enough, and more than enough, more than we can imagine, to accomplish all that He intends for us individually and for